an insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many people want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. Oh, there it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Derek Carr retired over the weekend after 11 seasons in the NFL. 9 with the Raiders. 2, last 2, with the Saints. A second-round draft pick out of Fresno State, where I believe he was there same time Aaron Judge was hitting baseballs 5,000 feet on the West Coast. But, you know, was drafted in the second round to be franchisee. Had his moments of brilliance, certainly with the Raiders, but for the most part. Now, his brother was the number one overall pick in the draft, David Carr, but he got, you know, he got sacked like 1,000 times for his couple years. Never really got over that. But now for the Saints, the question is, who will be their quarterback heading into a season in which Tampa is going to be the favorites to win the division, I would assume. Penix is going to be the dude in Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta's got talent. It's all about their defense.
And then we talked about Carolina with Bryce Young throwing a pulse. So we're not doing our predictions. We're months away from that. But if we're doing them today, I got to pick the Saints last, I would think.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Yeah, and they really, what are they going to do, you know, at quarterback? That's, you know, I mean, they took the Louisville kid, what, in the second round? I guess they'll probably just go with him. I mean, that was, you know, the coach's hand-picked guy.
Yeah, and by the way, Kellen Moore's a rookie head coach,
no
too.
No doubt. Yeah, and he just got fired 2 years ago in Dallas.
Yeah,
for things, 3 years ago.
Yeah, they're not looking good in the Big Easy there. But you never know. That's why they play the games. I mean, the running back situation there, you know, you're getting a little aged.
Yep. And they have no cap room. I mean, they've been doing credit card mentality for a lot of years.
So, quarterback issues in New Orleans for sure. Speaking of quarterback issues, the Athletics reporting Pittsburgh still confident that Aaron Rodgers is going to sign with them eventually.
They got to be, Bob. I mean, because they did nothing. You know, I mean, they took Will Howard in the sixth round. I mean, if you need a quarterback, you're going to take one earlier than the sixth round. So, you know what would be funny, Bob, is if Shadur turns out to be a guy and they passed on him at 21, you know, or they passed on him a bunch of times. But, sure. I mean, that was the rumor with all the mock drafts. Shadur is going to Pittsburgh.
Or New Orleans.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yep.
But Aaron Rodgers, he'll hold them hostage for – he's got to get in there at some point.
I would think he's got to be there, Bob, for mandatory minicamp. Got to be.
Long-standing offer on the table. Rodgers now 41 years old. Going at his own pace, obviously.
Now, from what I heard, Bob, was he talks to Arthur Smith a lot. So he likes the people in Pittsburgh. He likes them a lot in Pittsburgh. And, you know, so the way they're acting, Bob, it seems like they have like a wink-wink handshake thing. I'll be there, you know, when I can get there.
He signs with the Steelers. That changes them how? In regards to how we perceive them. Well, with all due respect to Mason Rudolph and Will Howard and everyone else.
Well, I think right now they suck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah. I think he would give them at least some credibility. Otherwise, you know, I mean, who are you afraid of? And the other thing is, when you look at their receivers, Bob, other than Metcalf, who are you afraid? If Metcalf were to get hurt, what happens? You know? I mean, I guess the rumor is Lazard's going there. So if Lazard's going there, probably, you know, Aaron Rodgers.
Well, if they sign Randall Cobb today, we know where Aaron Rodgers is going.
Yeah.
For sure. Staying in the division, Trey Hendrickson has not had any communication with the Bengals, well, he says, between my camp and them since the draft. Trey Hendrickson, a disgruntled sack master for Cincinnati, who paid their receivers big time this offseason.
Yeah, and I think what he's pissed off about, Bob, is his management told him that I think to get him to play this past year was, you know, go show that you can do it again and we'll pay you. And then he goes and 17 and a half sacks or whatever, and now they're like on deaf ears. But, you know, reading what Hendrickson says, the coaches know. You know, so they know that management is kind of hosing him around. So we'll see what happens. I mean, he's not going to go. He's going to play hardball now. That's what they've created.
They have a great offense, as we saw last year. Joe Burrow had an incredible season. The receivers had monster years. Yeah, I mean, Chase is one of the top guys. Higgins missed time and still put up some pretty impressive numbers. Running back situation, I guess Brown's a dude they can count on to some level, but their defense stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, they score 40 points and lose. It's a bad thing.
And they took Shamar, the A&M kid, as their pass rusher, and he's not going to be ready
to do
that. No. You know, so Hendrickson, I mean, if he's not getting a deal, they may end up, you know, like trading him maybe to a Detroit or somebody like that, possibly.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch here on this Monday. We talked about this earlier in the show. Just tuning in, Jadeveon Clowney was released by the Carolina Panthers late last week, connected to the Ravens. You know, Kansas City could use another pass rusher. Detroit, other teams, they're going to be teams lining up to bring in a guy that, you know, he still thinks he can play. Had 5.5 sacks for the Panthers last season. But Jadeveon Clowney coming back to Baltimore, I mean, we discussed it earlier, me, you, and Nolan. We're cool with it.
Absolutely.
I mean, you still, like you said, Vinny, you still want to see what, you know, Adisa Isaac and, you know, Ajabo bring to the equation here during OTAs and then in mini camps and training camp. But, you know, having this as a, air quotes, fallback option, not a bad option to have.
Yeah. And the thing is with pass rushers, Bob, is, like, we'll have a good feel by the time we leave mandatory minicamp, June the 17th or whatever it is. We'll have a good feel if like we're talking, it's like, damn, Ajabo looks different, or, you know, he's a decent. If you hear buzz about them, you know, just like 2 years ago was Keaton Mitchell. That's all we talked about, was Keaton Mitchell. All right, we got to hear something about Ajabo and Isaac. Otherwise, Bob, if they're not looking good, then I think They'll be talking to Clowney.
Now, staying in the division, AFC North, real quick. We just had Bill Bender on from Sporting News a couple segments ago. He was at Browns rookie minicamp, and he said out loud, which is great because, you know, he was on mic, he thinks Shedeur Sanders starts games for Cleveland, and I don't think that's far-fetched at all.
Nope.
I mean, he might win the job coming out of training camp. I mean, Kenny Pickett on his third team in 3 years, Joe Flacco, older, let's just say. Deshaun Watson's not going to be ready to start the season. Dylan Gabriel, all right, he's confident. That's great.
Well, with the thing that bothered me, he said he is short, you know, okay. And you can see that. So, I mean, that I think he's, you know, smart and all those types of things. But, you know, he's probably like Bryce Young size, you know, like 5'11 kind of guy.
And finally, schedule release 2 days from today in the National Football League. There'll be some leakage, I'm sure. When we hear Wednesday, we'll start hearing games. But here are the opponents for the Ravens in 2025. Home, division rival, Cincy, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. Host New England, host the Jets, host Houston, Chicago, Detroit, L.A. Playoff team in Houston, playoff team Detroit, playoff team Rams, others to be determined here. And the Bears look like a team on the rise here.
I think I read where the Ravens' strength of schedule was ninth toughest.
On the road, division foes at Buffalo, championship game, Chiefs, Super Bowl, Dolphins, disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay, playoff team.
Yeah.
Vikings, playoff team. But as the Bears are on the ascend, depending on how J.J. McCarthy does.
Yep.
Minnesota could probably be taking a couple steps back
here. And if McCarthy looks good, Bob, Viking, that division's going to be really good.
It's 58-81-05. Some of the Fan will come back. Speaking of divisions, talk about the American League East in baseball. What happened over the weekend outside of the Orioles taking 2 out of 3 from the Angels? We'll give you the updated standings. There was another managerial change in the National League. We'll talk about that. Then Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Talk about the Birds on this day off. Right now, 7.5 games out of first. Run differential, minus 65.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East.
Vinny and Haney.
Time for your American League East report here on this Monday. Orioles yesterday, 7-3 over the Angels, as we've talked about. Gunnar Henderson, 2-for-5. Homer, a couple driven in. Ryan Mountcastle, 2-for-4 over the ribby, as they were walking Tyler O'Neill intentionally to get to him. Made him pay. Adley, 2-for-5. All right, had the sun aided triple, but hey, they count the box score, baby. And he had a home run taken away from him by the kid Paris out in center field. Cedric Mullins broke a 1-for-34, or 1-for-35 with a couple of knocks, two runs scored. And Maverick Hanley got his first two ribbies of his career, one on a sack fly, one on a suicide squeeze. So Maverick doing some stuff there. Zach Eflin gets the win. He's now 3-1 on the year. First start back from the IL, goes five innings, gave up a couple runs in the first, then goes four scoreless. And then Dominguez, Baker, Cano, unscathed. Mountain gave up a home run there, but that was a no harm, no fouler. So the Orioles beat Tyler Anderson. First time they beat a lefty in a while, only the third time this season. They have handled their business. So the Orioles get out of there with a win, take 2 out of 3, win Friday. Kind of went quiet on Saturdays. Kyle Gibson was scuffling. Nolan, what's up with the pirate hat? Did you notice anything about that?
Saw it pop up on the loss on Saturday. Laureano had it, which was weird late in the game. You're losing.
When they're losing 5-1, he hits a homer and he puts a pirate hat on. Arr.
I don't recall it on Friday. I could be wrong, but could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but
try something new. Yeah. Try something.
I don't care. They could put bags over their heads. Just start hitting more home runs, and we'll all be happy with that. But so you got the hat, now the homer hose, or whatever it is, the hydration station. Just get some crooked numbers rolling on a more regular basis. Tomorrow, Minnesota comes to town. We'll get to the standings in a second, but the Twins won 8 in a row. It'll be Cade Povich for Baltimore, 1-3 with a 5.55. And then it is Woods Richardson for Minnesota, who the Orioles faced last week, and they got him out of there before the fifth. He's 2-2 with a 4.01. Elsewhere in the division yesterday, the American League East, Tampa taking on the Brujas, and a guy that's been known to bash baseballs bashed one yesterday against the Rays.
Yelich down the left field line. Long run, Simpson running out of room and gone. Yelich goes deep on Mother's Day to tie things up. Cutter in the middle of the plate, and Yelich hits number 7.
FanDuel on the call. Contreras goes deep as well, as the Brewers win yesterday 4-2. Tampa did take 2 out of 3 in that series. It was Boston taking on the Kansas City Royals. And Rafael Devers balked at possibly moving to first base. And I get where he's coming from, because they took him off third for Bregman, who's, by the way, having a monster year, Alex Bregman, offensively anyway. And then Cassis gets hurt. He's done for the year with a knee. And the GM, Breslow, former player, part of the World Series teams from 10 years ago, said, hey, would you be interested? Nope. Nope. Do your job. Go get a new first baseman. I do mine. Well, yesterday, Rafael Devers, might not be full-on team guy based on what they want from him. He did help them win a game yesterday, though.
Rafi clubs one in the air to center. Isbell goes back. It is gone!
Oh, my God.
Absolutely crushed by Devers.
So he was thinking of Craig Breslow when he hit that home run. Has a Nesson on the call. Devers goes deep. Willy Abreu hit his 10th homer of the year. Lucas Giolito, he gets the win. Boston wins 3-1. Chapman picks up the save over Kansas City. Red Sox take 2 out of 3 in that series against the Royals. Elsewhere in the division, the Yankees taking on the A's. Parts unknown. And Ben Rice got things off to a pretty strong start for New York.
And the 3-1 sent deep down the right field line. It could be gone, and it is! It's a home run! A grand slam for Ben Rice! Deep onto the berm in right field here in Sacramento, and the Yankees have blown this baby open. It is now 10-1 Bombers.
Final score would be 12-2. New York over the A's. Ben Rice, as you heard on Yes, with a grand slam. Aaron Judge continues to play slow pitch softball. 4-for-5, 2 ribbies. He's hitting .409 in mid-May. Nolan, his OPS, 1274. That's Babe Ruth stuff. Incredible. Yankees take 2 out of 3 from the A's. And the game New York lost, Judge hit 2 home runs. And then finally in the division, Blue Jays, every time you want to stick a fork in them, they say not so fast. And they go out to Seattle, and old George Springer, remember him? He rose up a little bit.
Springer hits it high and deep to left field, and Rosarena just turns and watches it go. A long, long home run for George Springer. His 5th of the season.
As you can tell, the crowd was not real happy with that turn of events as the Blue Jays beat the Mariners 9-1. That was Sportsnet. Dan Schulman on the call. 9-1 final score. George Springer 2-for-5. Homer 3 ribbies. Toronto sweeps the 3-game series. Standings update. Oh, real quick tonight. Boston's at Detroit 6:40. That's an interesting little Monday night extravaganza. Yankees go out to Seattle, take on the Mariners. Tomorrow, the Rays are at Toronto. And, of course, Minnesota comes to Baltimore, taking on the Orioles 6:35. First pitch, Pickles Pub. Baltimore Baseball Tonight brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. We'll be down there. It's been a couple of weeks, so it'll be good to reunite with all of our loyal listeners downtown Baltimore. Yankees 23-17. They're 2 games up on Boston, 22-20. Toronto's now at .500. 4 in a row, 6 of 10. They're 3 back. Tampa, 18-22. They're 5 off the pace. And the Orioles bringing up the rear, 15-24. They are 7.5 out. Detroit's 2.5 up in the Central over Cleveland and Kansas City. The Twinkies, they won 8 in a row, 8 of 10. They've moved to 5 games off the pace. The White Sox, they got some work to do. They're 14 games out of first place. Seattle, even though they just got swept by Toronto, they're 2 games up, I should say, on Houston and the A's. Texas 3 back. The Angels are 6 out. In the National League, the East, the Mets are 1.5 game up on Philly. Atlanta 6.5 out. The Nats have lost 5 in a row. They're now 9 games out of first place. And the Marlins, they're 10 games back. In the NL Central, the Cubbies, they're 1 game up on St. Louis. The Cardinals have won 8 straight, 8 of 10. Brewers are 3 out. Reds are 3.5. And the Pirates, who last week fired Derek Shelton, they're in last place, 9 out. Dodgers game up on the Padres in the West. Giants, who just got swept by said Twins, they're 3 out. Diamondbacks are 6 back. You saw that Corbin Burns beat the Dodgers a couple of nights ago, so going 7 strong. And then Colorado, they fire their manager, Bud Black, a day after, got a vote of confidence from the GM and the owner. They lose 21-0. They're now 7-33. It's the worst 40-game stretch since the 88 Orioles were 6-34. That team lost 21 straight to start the season. And everybody's like, hey, well, they fired Cal Ripken, so it's been done before. Yeah, they fired Cal. They were 0-6, senior. Frank Robinson lost 15 in a row to start. Well, the Rockies are bad. Minus 128 run differential. Wow. Minus 128. So that's your standings update here on this Monday in Major League Baseball. We'll come back, talk about said Orioles with Rich Dubroff from BaltimoreBaseball.com. And then Nolan McGraw takes us through his funhouse. Inside access coming up here at 2 o'clock. Did win a road series. A lot of positivity, I guess, came out of the weekend that was in Anaheim. Here to look ahead to this week and beyond from BaltimoreBaseball.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome into the show our buddy Rich Dubroff. Rich, how you feeling today?
I'm a little tired. I took the red eye in from L.A. this morning, but I'm raring to go for my friends Bob and Vinny.
All right, I appreciate that. And I thought you were going to go, yeah, I flew in and my arms are tired. I mean, we're going to go full on Shecky Green to start the segment. But Tomo Sagano gets the series off to a positive start, no pun intended, on Friday. How much has he exceeded your expectations, Rich, based on whatever they were in spring training so far this season?
Well, you know, I mean, for this season, you know, you had the Rolling Stones on, to lead into me. And this season has sort of been, I can't get no satisfaction for the Orioles.
Right.
And, you know, but Sagano has been, you know, the great find. As rough as the last season has been in terms of acquisitions and transactions, that has been, you know, that has been a great one. And, you know, as tough as they are, as bad as the standings are, as bad as they are in the standings, 9 games under .500, he's really been, he has, you know, really been terrific. And, you know, getting Eflin back yesterday was, I think, huge, because, you know, Eflin takes, not only adds a really good starter, but takes a weak starter out of the rotation. So, you know, if you can get Sagano and, you know, Dean Kramer along with Eflin to be pitching decently, then, you know, maybe they can start to make up some of this ground, but which is going to be very hard.
To that point, how much longer can Brandon Hyde keep tossing Kyle Gibson out there, who seems like he's rehabbing in real time at a major league level, and it really hasn't gone that well so far?
Well, I don't see a handy alternative right now. I think that, you know, you have to give him 5 or 6 starts, another two or three to see how he's gone. Because one thing that this proves yet again, Bob, is that pitchers need spring training. You know, you saw it with this happened with Alex Cobb in 2018. Alex Cobb was a really good pitcher, believe it or not, before he joined the Orioles. And, you know, he didn't have a spring training and he got off to a rough start and ended up, you know, having a forgettable career with the Orioles. But I think that, you know, Gibson was harmed by not having the spring training, and, you know, he's having spring training now and it's not working. But I don't see anything right now to replace him in the rotation. They have Chase McDermott and they have Trevor Rogers, who are, you know, both at Norfolk. But those guys were hurt during spring training, and it's going to take them, you know, a couple of weeks until they're ready to pitch in the big leagues. And Grayson Rodriguez is not walking through that door just yet. So I think they're going to hang in with Gibson for the time being.
Now, Rich, we get to the offense, which to me has been the big disappointment, especially with runners in scoring position, the inability to put crooked numbers up, consistent bases, sure, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. I know they've had injuries. Westberg hasn't played in a couple of weeks. Moo Man hasn't played since the first series of the year against Toronto, and O'Neill spent time on the IL. To that point, Tyler O'Neill, I mean, his Gold Glove resume, St. Louis, left field. Now in right field, not exactly Roberto Clemente, let's be honest. Two-parter, were you of the mindset, because we've talked to people that cover the team that thought he was going to be an upgrade all around maybe over Anthony Santander. Did you feel that was going to be a reality? And based on whatever expectations you may have had for him, O'Neill, has he been somewhat of an underachiever, or does he get a pass because of the injuries?
No, I think that, players are what their statistics say they are. And he's been disappointing. And, you know, his statistics say that he's been on the injured list 15 times in his career. And there's a reason for that. And I think that if they can get, you know, 110 games out of him, 120 good games out of him, then they're doing okay. I thought the biggest loss to me was Couser. You know, Couser does different things than the other guys in the outfield. And without Couser, that outfield has underachieved. Laureano, I thought, would be a little better than he has. He's played well, you know, better recently. But I thought Laureano would have been would have provided more offense to the team than he has. And O'Neill, you know, I keep waiting for him to get hot. You know, he goes into these streaks. You know, he can go into one of these streaks, I think. But yeah, he has been difficult. It's been difficult, and I think Couser is still a few weeks away. But if they get him back, then I think that outfield and that lineup looks a lot better.
Rich Dubrow, BaltimoreBaseball.com, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. All right, Twins for three, Nats for three coming up over the weekend. Keep waiting for a three-game winning streak, a 5-6, an 8-10, which hasn't happened, obviously, so far in 2025. This was supposed to be, Rich, the air quotes, easy part of the schedule. Minnesota's now one of the hottest teams in baseball, so now they're back. Nats are scuffling a little bit. 4-2, anything less? Would that be uncivilized, to quote the old deodorant commercial from way back when?
Yeah, they're going to have to do a lot of those 4-2, you know, 4-2s. They put themselves in such a hole that they, you know, if they go 15 out of their next 20, then they're just barely at 500. You know, one game over 500. So they need to put together a sustained winning streak. But I know we always look at the schedule and say, oh, this is where they should be. You know, they should make up ground. Oh, this is going to be a tough time for them. And it really shows how little we know. It's like, okay, Wednesday, the NFL schedule is going to be released. And everybody will say, oh, well, this is going to be a tough schedule for the Ravens, or this is going to be an easy schedule for the Ravens. How do we know? You know, I mean, we're basing on past performance. Unless they, you know, unless the Orioles have a steady diet of playing the White Sox and the Rockies, this is going to be hard. I mean, they're a better team than the Angels. I mean, I thought especially yesterday's game, I thought the Angels were awful. And there are a bunch of teams that they should be better than. But the AL Central is much stronger than a lot of people thought it was, with, you know, Cleveland and Minnesota and Detroit and Kansas City. So that's, you know, that's pretty tough. And maybe the East is not quite as strong as people thought. But they're just going to have to go on one of these sustained winning streaks, so that, you know, in 4 weeks they can get near 500, because this isn't, you know, just going baby steps is not really helping them.
Hey, Rich, we were grading some of the players earlier, and we all came to the same conclusion grade-wise for Adley Rutschman. We gave him a D for what we've seen thus far this year. You cool with that grade, or would you change it?
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, it's funny, Vinny. I keep looking at these, you know, this expected batting average and stuff. And I watch him and I keep thinking he's going to turn stuff around. But those balls end up, you know, as long fly balls instead of home runs. And, it's a mystery to me. But I know the team's always saying, well, you know, he's playing well, you know, he's on the verge, but, you know, we're now down to almost, 10 months of this, almost a season of this. So it is certainly worrisome.
In my 1974 Paul Blair card on the back doesn't say expected batting average. Tells you what his batting average was. He's Rich Dubroff. Rich, what's happening at BaltimoreBaseball.com here on this day off?
Well, we have, of course, 24/7 coverage of the Orioles and, getting ready for the big series with Minnesota. And whenever you least expect it, there'll be a column by the wonderful Peter Schmuck.
Always great to read from Peter. Rich Dubroff, always great to hear from you. Appreciate the time. Enjoy your day off, and we'll talk to you next week sometime.
Okay, my pleasure. Thanks for having
Thanks,
me
Rich.
On.
There's Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. We'll come back, take a trip through the funhouse. Inside Access coming up here at 2 o'clock. No Orioles tonight, so some fun coming your way later here on The Fan.
Quick Draw's Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, first text here says, Zach Eflin's presence makes an instant impact for the Orioles. That guy just flat out knows how to pitch. If he's healthy the rest of the way, combined with Sagano, hopefully the Dean Kramer we've seen as of late, they might just be able to build some momentum. Unfortunately, just one injury away from more misery.
Yeah, and let's get the bats flying. They could be McNally, Palmer, and Cuellar back-to-back-to-back if they can't score. And what's Eflin walk like four guys all season long? Granted, he missed a few weeks with an injury, but he throws strikes, man, and to the Texer's point, he got lit up a little bit in the first inning, settled down. Nothing after that, and probably could have pitched another inning if need be, but, you know, don't push it if you don't have to.
This one says, Felix Bautista is not getting enough recognition this year. I understand he hasn't had the volume of save opportunities, but actually exceeding my expectations post-injury. He should get all-star consideration, especially with guys like Classe and Williams struggling in the AL.
Yeah, I don't know if he will, because the Orioles aren't good enough to get like multiple all-stars. And what's he have, five saves? Yeah, he gave up the homer yesterday, but the game was well out of reach. He was just getting some work in. But Felix Bautista, yeah. What's he throwing, high 90s now? I mean, the splits back on point. He's dominating.
This one on the Ravens says, I'll pass on Clowney coming back to Baltimore. I don't need him taking reps away from Mike Green, who's the actual future. Clowney might get you four sacks at this age. Just not worth it, in my opinion.
We're saying the way that he comes back is if Ajabo or Isaac can't ring the bell. You know, if they're not good enough to be on the team, then you're going to need some depth in there. And I think Clowney would be fit perfect. He knows everybody, knows the coaches. So I think it'd be if, you know, but if Ajabo and Adis Isaac, they say, damn, look how good they look, then you don't need them.
And we'll close with this one here on the Orioles. Texter says, I want to believe in what I saw this weekend. I want that to be the real Orioles. That's what my heart tells me, but my brain says the opposite. My brain says I've seen two quality series wins earlier this year, immediately followed up with more terrible baseball. Please, Orioles, just keep your foot on the gas.
Well, let's see if they're capable of doing that offensively, because they're still going to need to uptick here with the runs per game. Five is the magic number, as Jim Hunter said many times before, because the team earn run average is still rather robust. But as we talked about earlier, Rich Dubroff just brought it up with Eflin, Kramer, the way he's going, and Sagano. That's three that can keep you in series. But you got to get some sort of help from the bats here. And guys like O'Neill and Adley Rutschman and Cedric need to pick it up, because it's been struggle city for them, just as it looks like Gunnar Henderson is about to awaken. All right, he was rather quiet against Minnesota, but he was good against Kansas City. He was good out in Anaheim. I think we're starting to see the all-star Gunnar Henderson return to form here. That's going to do it for us. We're back tomorrow with Turn It Up Tuesday. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.